frequency to this week's shortwave antenna listeners night, which is held each week on this frequency. For those of you who are new to that, it is a general discussion of the radio listening hobby. We discuss all aspects of the radio listening hobby from DC through light with the exception of amateur radio. It's a free forum, so while we may introduce some topics, please feel free to ask your questions, or if you have any particular areas of interest that you'd like to discuss, you can introduce those. Those of you who are unable to check into the net, either because you are not licensed or because you can't get into the repeater, I'll also be checking email this evening. Our email address tonight and every week is nydxa@yahoo.com. Once again, it's nydxa@yahoo.com. And I'll be doing my best to run the net here this evening while Charlie is not at his normal net control post. I think he's going to be checking in, but I'm going to handle most of the traffic this evening. My name is Bob, call us WA2SQQ, located in Elmwood Park, New Jersey, in Bergen County. So we'll begin the check-ins. If you would please give your name and your location. And also if you have traffic. By traffic, I mean if you have any questions or comments or topics that you'd like to discuss on the net this evening.
UA2SQQ. UA2OKZ. Ken in Cranford, with some comments.
WA2IWC, Don, Midtown Manhattan, with traffic.
NFA2O, November India 2 Oscar, with traffic. Hey, I got two stations. There was a third one in there, but you kind of cut most of your call off. Ken, I got you. And Don, I got you. He's the third station. Just key up before you start talking. Try it again.
All right, it's me, NI2O. Do you have me? The box is a bit rough out here tonight.
NI2O, WA2SQQ. I had a feeling it was you, but you just didn't get the call. Okay. So we got three. Two traffic, one comment, which is good. Anyone else?
Yeah, traffic two, that was what I was trying to tell you. The box is a bit rough out here tonight. NI2O.
Alpha Charlie 2, Alpha Echo, Joe, no traffic, Brooklyn, New York.
Okay, we'll go with this list and hopefully we'll pick up a few more. I've got a few tidbits of information here, but we'll hold that and we'll go with the list that we have for now. Ken, how are you? WA2OKZ, WA2SQQ. What's been with you and how you been?
Pretty good. Can you copy me? Am I having any problems? Because I've moved down to the 2 meter link.
Solid, no problem at all.
Hey, I just got my issue of monitoring times by email today, and I guess I had asked you about the email version back about 2 years ago. And maybe even longer. And I've been getting it through the email, and which led me to one other comment. I take the email copy and I put it on a PDA. I put it on my iPod Touch, and that way I don't have to print it out. I can read it when I'm sitting in the car, my wife is driving, I could read the articles, the whole thing fits on, and it works just fine. I've been doing it for a while. Let me just drop it for a second. Okay, so aside from the fact that I do read a lot of ham articles on it, there are some new programs that Apple has on their website And the one of them that I have in there is for the Iridium flare, where it predicts when it's in your area. And I also have a satellite tracker program, which I find is pretty accurate too. They have live air traffic controllers for this area. I get seismic reports throughout the day from any earthquake areas, and I do have an atomic clock built into it. And there's also a high-frequency beacon map that synchronizes with the atomic clock. And once it's synchronized, it moves through different parts of the world in 10 or 15 second intervals. And since it's synchronized, you just look where it is at that particular moment. If you hear any type of code coming in at that time, then you know it's open to that part of the world. So there are some really nice programs coming out for little pocket PDAs to stick it, just keep with you all the time. But it all started off with, like I said, the monitoring times. Just having it all there in your pocket is really great. WA2SQQ, WA2OKZ.
Yeah, actually, you're mentioning Apple with the iPhone. There's a lot of really neat applications for the iPhone, these dollar downloads. I know my brother-in-law's got one on there. I forget the network it's hooked up to, but basically it's, oh, I don't know, hundreds of stations on there where you could receive live scanner audio over your iPhone. And I don't like AT&T as a cellular carrier, but I think I would go out and buy an iPhone if I could get one unlocked for T-Mobile, simply for all those really neat applications if you're into geocaching and so on. So the world of PDAs and iPhones is really giving us access to, you know, internet on the go, and it's a neat world. Boy, you think about 10 or 15 years ago, we didn't have any of these toys. So the other thing I did want to comment on is monitoring times. I also got my copy of it, and for those of you who do not get it electronically, I think it's a much more efficient way of getting it. You save the paper, you save money. And starting this month, what they've done is they've added another document to what they send you. It's 115 pages, and in addition to the English language broadcast shortwave, they now have a very extensive list of shortwave broadcasts in different languages. So if you are multilingual and you want to listen in your native language, and for nothing more than to brush up on that language, there's a list that they're going to be including now with monitoring times in PDF form. It's a very, very nice way to do it. The photographs are all in color. And, you know, if I want, I can always print the issue out on one of my printers at work. It's a double-sided printing. So I think it's definitely something to explore if you're a reader of monitoring times.
Just one quick comment. This is the iTouch, and the difference between this and the iPhone is that you do have to, you know, pay for that data package. And I think even if you got one that was open, an open phone, you would still have to get somebody's data package for it. And AT&T charges about $70 a month. And, well, for you guys who are still working, I guess that ain't too bad, but being retired is not, you know, is not the way to go with this. But the iTouch just needs a Wi-Fi connection. And there's plenty of them all around. Most of the restaurants in this area give you free Wi-Fi. And I have some gain antennas on my router. So, I mean, I have full coverage through my entire home. But a PDA that's wireless, and that's what this is really a great way to go. and it's cheap.
Yeah, I wish, I know what you're saying with the signal. I wish, that the iPods, I don't think the newest iPods, actually have GPS, but I would like to have that capability. You know, as far as the internet goes, what you're saying is true. I know I was sitting out on my back deck the other night, and I was shocked. Not only is Cablevision, I've got Cablevision access now all around town, but I'm up in the northern, you know, northern part of the state of Bergen County, and Comcast is even wired up. So it looks like Comcast and Cablevision have partners, and pretty much all around Bergen County, you walk around here, and we've got their Wi-Fi coverage.
I mean, I see the same thing here. We have Verizon, and there are so many open networks, and the speed on my fiber system through this iPod is pretty close to 10 megabits per second, which is really fast, and assuming that there's some accuracy to this program, it's definitely a winner.
Very good. Okay. Well, thanks for that input. And the next person on our list is WHYWC Don. How are you?
Oh, pretty good there, Sir Robert. Good to hear you. Thanks for taking over the net. I guess there was no net last week as far as I could tell. One item of traffic, I guess, for now. I'm just wondering if in your copious amounts of spare time, if you have seen any, if you've done any browsing of the radio reference forums. I have not lately. I've been busier than I can even begin to tell you, as I'm sure you are. But I'm curious if you've read any actual user reports on the new Bearcat scanners, the 996 XT or the 396 XT versus the 996 and 396. I was just curious about that. And my only other thing was I did a latitude-longitude search last week to try to find the radios at the building across the street from me. And either the latitude-longitude site I used gave me the wrong coordinates, but I found very strange results. I was getting results, appear to be results in my zip code, but then also within a 1 kilometer range of my area of Manhattan, I was getting hits for Rockville Center and stuff like that, so it didn't make sense. So I'm wondering if anybody else has done those searches and if they tend to work, or if there's something broken in the FCC database when it comes to that. Now back to you, Bob.
You see. I can tell you from my experience, you have to really be careful of what you're searching. Because remember, in the FCC database, you actually have a lot of different locations. There's antenna locations. There's the location of who it's licensed to. So you might have an antenna on the building across the street from you, but the licensee could be somebody elsewhere. So you really kind of have to look at the data and find out that when you're doing a zip code search, what are you searching for?
Yeah, it was a lat-long search. It wasn't necessarily by zip code. Yeah, that's true. The other thing was it displayed, you know, licensees, but it didn't display frequencies, which also surprised me. So I don't know what the deal is. And I see also Pete, CDC, just announced this call in case you didn't hear it. Back to you, Bob.
I didn't hear Pete. Just hang in there. We'll take another list of check-ins here in a moment. I'll get Pete at that time. Okay, so actually, before I move on, you're talking about zip codes. One of the things I was going to mention tonight, it found a very interesting site. I'm going to copy this URL down. It's at www.v, like in Victor, dash, soft, S-O-F-T.com, / zip signal, that's Z-I-P-S-I-G-N-A-L, / default. About 8 p.m. And what this is, you can go in there and put a zip code in. It will automatically give you a list for your zip code of the AM and the FM radio stations that you can receive from that zip code, sorted in order of strength. Around here, it may not be too much use, but, you know, if you travel, for example, you want to look for a local radio station or whatever, it actually works quite well in terms of the signal strength. It's pretty accurate. I put my zip code in, and right on the top of the list is WABC, which is dead on, because I'm about a mile and a half from their antennas. So let me drop it one sec, and I'll give you the URL again for this. Okay, so it's at www.z-soft.com/zip-signal/fault.htm. And you go in there and you put your zip code in. Or if you want, you can actually put station call letters in. It'll give you information on that, too. It's an interesting site. Kind of a search engine that's tagged on to a company called VSoft Communications Consulting Company. So, not their primary reason for having a web page, but nevertheless, kind of helpful. Okay, next person on the list, NI20. How are you?
Yeah, not so bad, boys. Firstly, am I getting in? I'm on the Manhattan 440 side.
You're fine, that's not bad.
Cool, okay. Good evening, all. November India 2 Oscar, NI20. I trust everybody's doing fine and keeping out of this nasty, horrible hot weather now that it's finally got here. Couple of things I got. We now have a US domestic DRM broadcaster.
Hooray!
The IBB and HCJB down in Quito, is it? They've got a joint pilot going out of Greenville. They're doing 2 hours of DRM at a 45-degree beam heading, so that's kind of vaguely out to Europe, on 15475 from 2000 to 2200 UT. That started last night. And then at midnight till 4 UT, they're doing a on 9405 megs, kilohertz, 9.405 megahertz, they're doing the same broadcast at 306 degrees, so in other words, kind of catch the whole of the US and into Canada and stuff like that. I'm wrestling with it. It's up finally with me now on 9405. I've got it about an S9, I guess, and it's the usual DRM white noise, but last night I really struggled with it. I couldn't hear it before. So, that'll be on for about 2 months. But it's a test, but it's, you know, it's Voice of America type stuff that they're playing on this. Let me take a look.
Hello, good night. This is US Drop, Echo Alpha 2, Charlie, Tango Alpha.
Because, well, you know, because. But I've been looking around, and I see, came across a web page called Dave's Homemade Loop Antenna Page, and he's got some works of art on there. They look pretty simple to make, but he's done a really good job. But I was just kind of thinking about making one, and, you know, just for a bit of jolly, see what they bring. Particularly, I'm looking for a long wave reception, and I wondered if anybody's got any experience of that. And that's all from the Marshalltown contingent, NI20.
Yeah, I wonder if you could shoot that email over to me. Loop antennas have always fascinated me. I have, I guess you'd call what, the granddaddy of all loops here. I have a Kiwa loop that I bought about many, many years ago, and I love that antenna for broadcast band here. It's a little bit pricey, and has gone up in price quite a bit more since I got it, but loop antennas can be very, very effective once you learn how to use them because of the sharp nose. So you got my curiosity in the loop, and I'd love to see that webpage. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take another list of check-ins, and then I'm going to go through some of the things I have, and then we'll continue on with the second list. So if we have any more check-ins for the net this evening, please space it out. And again, please give your call and your location and whether you have traffic. This is WA2SQQ.
A2GLW, good in Manhattan, monitoring the net, walk the dog, no traffic. Hello?
Hey, I only got one in there, unless I missed it. Gordon, W2GLW, good evening. Is there anyone else?
Yeah, N21 will be checking in from the office, Bob.
Sorry? We'll turn it over to you in a little bit. All right, I'm going to go over a few of the things that I have here. Some of them are a little bit dated, but I actually got quite a few emails following the helicopter plane accident in the Hudson River. We didn't have a net last week, so I did want to address that because it is information that perhaps that some of the people that are only in listening mode are not aware of. So for those of you who don't do a lot of air listening, the air traffic on the Hudson River and on the East River is rather unique in that it's kind of I wouldn't say unattended, but they're not in the direct control of the North Tower, and there are specific frequencies that the aircraft use on and above those two rivers, and it makes it very, very interesting listening. Unfortunately, because of their restricted altitude, you may not hear them as far away as you would normal aircraft traffic. So I get a lot of emails, people saying, well, what are these frequencies, and you know, and what do you listen to, and what's on them? I'll go over the frequencies. The main frequency for the Hudson River, which is all the sightseeing helicopters, basically any plane, any helicopter, any aircraft up and down the Hudson River, and I believe that's, what is it, under 2,000 or under 1,100 feet, is on 123.05. Again, 123.05. The East River, the frequency is 123.075. Again, 123.075, and that's going to be similar traffic on the East River. Okay? Now, in addition, NYPD, their company frequency, so to speak, for the aircraft, for the helicopter, and so on, you will hear them quite often going up and down the Hudson on 123.1, 123.100. Okay. The news helicopters, again, are going to be going up and down the Hudson and so on, and they each have their own frequency, but they tend to communicate with each other on one of two frequencies, which is 125.5 and 127.85. And 125.5 and 127.85 are frequencies for Class B airspace, which is aircraft within a 6-mile radius of Newark Airport, at or below 2,000 feet. So you're going to hear a lot of other traffic passing through the area on those two frequencies.
Hello, good night. This is Whiskey 2 Strop, Echo Alpha 2, Charlie Tango Alpha.
A few people send me an email and ask me what's the best antenna, and I just use the regular VHF antenna. It seems to work fine, but I've actually done a search and I found that there are some antennas that claim to be optimized for the aircraft band, and what they basically are antennas that have a 45 degree tilt to them. So I'm just curious if anybody's done any type of comparisons on horizontal versus vertical versus shall we call them diagonal antennas.
Hello, good night.
Yeah, do you have any experience with it or any comments? I just kind of throw it out there for a moment and see if anybody has any experience with this. Yeah, I guess not. So we'll leave it as an open issue. Now, lastly, when it comes down to listening to the traffic over the last few nights on 123.05, I heard a very strong signal, helicopter, identifying itself as Omaha, which is one of the three-letter government agencies, aircraft that they use for surveillance. And it was going up and down the Hudson. I have no idea what it was watching. But Omaha's active frequencies, there are four frequencies which they tend to be active on, and they're usually in the clear, so you can listen to them. It gets kind of interesting, these four frequencies. Listed in the order of activity. 165.4875, 166.4625, 166.125, and 169.45. I assume anybody, if they need a fill, they can ask me for it again and I go through this. And the last issue that I wanted to touch upon that I've been playing with, I've been fighting the urge to buy one of these internet radios, you know, where you hook it up and listen to all these pre-programmed broadcasts in there. I did a little bit of research, and what I found out was that there are actually websites that feed these a lot of these radios. You don't really need the internet radio device to listen to them. It's just a matter of being able to go to one spot and find all these radio stations. Well, what I'm finding is that in addition to radio stations, there are a number of really, really deep internet sites that will give you links to thousands of not only radio stations, but you can watch live TV from virtually anywhere in the world right on the internet. If I take a quarter of a pencil in hand, I'm going to give you a few websites that you can go to. I'm going to start off with the streaming TV. The first one, and I checked these all out, and they're all very easy to use. There's a lot of very good content on them. The first one is at www.channelchoosers.com, channelchooser.com, channelchooser.com. For a more international flavor, you can go to www.wwitv.com. Again, www.wwitv.com. And last, probably one of the nicest sites that I found is at watch.squidtv.net. So it's watch.squidtv, one word, S-Q-U-I-D-T-V.net. Go to those sites and pick the country of your interest and click on it. In most cases, you can watch live streaming video. Your game, you want to listen to the radio, there are two sites that I found that work very well. The first one is radiostationworld.com. Again, radiostationworld.com, all one word there. And the other one is receiva.com. That's R-E-C-I-V-A.com. For receiva.com, you have to create an account that's free, and then you log in and kind of listen to your favorite stations or create new ones, and several thousand on there. It works quite well. If there's a breaking news story, whether it be in Japan or in Ecuador or in Florida, wherever, you can go on there and you can search by city, by state, by the type of listening, the genre. It's a big database with links on it, and you can click on there if you like jazz or you like rock or whatever. You can go on there and have the benefits and the pleasure of internet radio without going and spending $100 to $200 on one of these boxes. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Charlie for a moment. Charlie, if you have anything, I kind of went through my list and see what you have, and then I'll take one more pass through and see if you have any more check-ins. WHY-2, Kim. Giving you away from the radio. All right. We'll take one more list here if we have any check-ins. If anybody has any other questions, any bills, anything like that, let me know. I'm just curious also if anybody has been monitoring the New Jersey City Trump system, if they have anything more to report. I can receive a data signal, and there's some traffic on there, but it's... I guess a fair statement. It would be infrequent at best. Not a whole lot of traffic on there yet, so that's about it as far as the scanning goes. On the 986, the new radio, I've seen people that have it already, but I really haven't seen any comments on it. Either positive or negative, so I don't really know what to make of that. To me, it just sounds like 996 on steroids with more channels.
Would a comment about that?
Yes.
There was some intermod that was getting us to see the angle link is connected to. Anyway, just something I wanted to bring to the net tonight had to do with the hurricane that's approaching the eastern shore of the United States, Hurricane Bill, which is now a Category 5 and could possibly be a Category... it's a 4 now, could be a Category 5 within the next day or so. It's expected to reach our area in the northeast sometime on Saturday as it tries to skirt the area between Bermuda and the east coast of the United States and then disappear. Hopefully, you know, keep our fingers crossed. But anyway, so what I wanted to bring up was the aircraft, the hurricane hunters that go into the eye of the hurricane and measure wind pressure and wind speed and all that. They can be heard on shortwave and upper sideband on various frequencies. And some good places to check is like 11175, which is used by the U.S. Air Force. That's their global high-frequency system. Sometimes you could also hear them doing phone patches with the U.S. Air Force Mars on 13927. There are all sorts of different frequencies. If you go on my website, pick up the link for hurricane frequencies down to the bottom of the page, and just do a search on there for TEAL, T-E-A-L, Tango Echo Alpha Lima. That's the call sign that they use for the hurricane hunters. And you search through there, and you'll find a bunch of frequencies on a lot of different aircraft frequencies in your destination. That's it. I'm going to try and get finished here and pack up and be done for the day. And 208, thanks for picking it up, Bob.
Charlie? Yeah, Peter was in there, and I think he kind of doubled there for a minute, but KCCWHRSQQ. Sorry you got kind of bumped out of there, but would you mind repeating your comments and questions?
CDC, yeah, I heard someone asking about the 996 XT. I picked one up last week, and the software, and the USB cable. Can't do a whole lot without the software. There are menus that you can't get into with just the radio alone. Very little time I've had to try the radio. They mentioned that there's a multicolored backlight display, which is unless you're using the white backlight, all those other backlights are pretty much useless. It does do the decoding of the NAC, but you know, you gotta set it up with the GRE. Just put the thing into auto and it'll do whatever is coming through there, whatever mode and whatever coding is used. It's also when you first program it, I don't know for lack of a better word, but it seems buggy. If I had to write to the radio a couple of times before these seals that would become enabled, and first I thought there was something wrong with something somewhere, and then I just, you know, wrote to it, and then finally what I wrote to stayed enabled. But as far as it seems like a good radio. Any other questions I can answer for the limited time that I've had it? I'll try to.
Okay, well, I'll give you a trick that I learned a long time ago with my 796, and that is on those new radios, the first thing that you might want to do is to download from the radio whatever. whatever is pre-programmed in from the factory, and save that as your default file, okay? And then if you want to add to it or modify it, I know that the old Yaesu Handy Talk, that was a requirement, but what I have found that a lot of times when you try writing a new file to a Virgin Radio, all kind of strange things happen, exactly what you said. So in the future, if anybody buys that, just do a complete download of what's in the radio and then work from there. Hang on just one second. The local fire department's calling out over here. I just wanted to see what was going on. Otherwise, that's it. That's all I have. But it's interesting, Peter. I mean, I'm tempted to go out and buy one. I don't know why. I have my 996, but I have two of them. One is permanently mounted in the car, and the other one in the house. And I love both of them. And with everything that I have in there, and I've got an extensive list of frequencies and files, I think I'm only at like 35% of memory capacity. So I can't justify buying a new radio for more channels that I'm not even using now.
Wanted the GRE because I have a portable and I wanted to be able to transfer information from one to the other. And then I'm looking at the size of the display. I want to get, you know, a desktop mobile, because what I want to do ultimately is make a little transportable, get a little Pelican box and put a little battery in there, and, you know, a couple of connectors and a little link the cable, put that power supply, and not mount anything to the box, but like some blue side or some kind of plastic, and just mount everything on that with the bracket that comes with it, and take it out, you know, just plug it in and use it. Oh, one of the reasons, another reason why I wanted like you said, you couldn't see justify spending that kind of money. Well, I couldn't justify buying a little plastic box. I wanted something that had a little more substance to it, and also I wanted the metal box or the shielding, you know, over here in the city, really doesn't matter a whole lot where you are. There is just so much interference that gets into these receivers, and, you know, the close call is pretty much useless because everything is all kind of doubling and mixing and intermod and all these various forms of interference all at once. So that's the other reason why I got the desktop, and also it was designed to be used with an external antenna. I'm sure you found out what you even a mobile model band, you know, like a 5 dB gain UHF antenna, it's just over. I guess I'm pretty much happy with it. I did have to save up for it. And another thing, I had to erase that what came pre-programmed, and unfortunately I didn't save it. I should have used it as a template, but there were supposed stuff programmed for New York. There wasn't even anything programmed in there for New Jersey. A lot of the things were locked out. I had to start from scratch with that, and I didn't get the. I had to go and get the USB cable. I got it yesterday, and what I am very disappointed is that they sell you a cable and they don't include the drive with it. You got to go on their website and download a driver for it. That, you know, it's not the money that I spent, it's the fact that I went and bought that. Usually when you buy something, it comes with a driver, and they didn't. Back over to you there.
So you're saying with the radio they don't give you the PC interface cable?
You serial PC cable, but where I am, the computer over here does not have a serial connected. Only it's got USB.
Okay, so I might be able to give you a suggestion, or at least offer a suggestion for anyone else out there. What did they charge you for the cable?
I bought it from Advance. $29. That's what the unit end charges. There about.
Okay, well, says you can't take it back. The Comstor thing online, or even on eBay, there are a few USB to serial adapter cables that you can get for $9. They all use the same chipset. I have two of them, and they work absolutely perfect. In fact, not only do they work with the unit in, but I actually use the USB to serial to the Motorola RIP box to program my XTS-3000 or any of the other radios. $9. So you really didn't have to buy that cable. You could have gotten one of these USB to serial adapters. And I know that if you order from CompUSA online, which is actually cables to go, if you order it, you'll have it regular UPS the second day. It's like $10 for shipping. And they work fine, and that's what I've been using all along. So anyone that has that situation, that has a computer without a serial port, don't need to spend $29 on units and cable. Much cheaper, easier way to do it.
Chef over here aiming the knife at me. Dinner's ready. I have one of those, and I'm glad you brought up this outlet, and you said something about the XTS. I have that, and the one that I have does not work with the computer over here. It says it's supposed to work with Millennium, Windows 2000, and XP. My luck doesn't say anything about Vista. If you look on the package, it's Belkin, Birkin, or something like that. Found out with you look at when the software or whatever was written, and then the hardware, if it's written after, it'll work. If it's written before, it will not work. I have one of those USB to serial ports. Now, it didn't work with the computer, with the software that you take up. One last question. You say you use that, because I have an XTS and the computer over here and the software. Now, my worry was that there's, I forget how many volts coming out of the USB. You're still going to have to plug it into the RIP box. And the RIP box has got 9 volts. Now, I'm not going to burn anything up by over-voltaging anything, am I?
Because the serial connection, the USB adapter is a buffer, so the volt that's coming out of the USB is running the adapter. What's coming out of the adapter is the serial.
Okay, so here's the reason it doesn't work. You want to make a note of this. There's three different chipsets that those converters work. The one that works with Uniden radios, the one that works with Motorola, and the one that works with I would say 95% of them, uses what is called the prolific chipset, PROLIFIC chipset. If you go on USA or Cables to Go, you do a search for USB adapter. If you do a search, there's actually some of them that say that they use the prolific chipset. I believe the chip actual IC, if you want to do a search for it, is PL-2303. That's the actual chip. So do a search for USB adapters that use either the prolific chipset or the PL-2303 chip, and they work fine. I've got two of them. I use them on two different laptops, two different PCs, and have not had a speck of problems with them.
The question is, when I put the connector to the RIP box, I don't have to use the power supply, or I do have to use the power supply for the RIP box. That was what my problem was. I didn't want to over-voltage anything by whatever was coming out of the USB, and the 9 volts, you know, 100, 200 milliamps powering the RIP box. What do I do with that as far as connecting the power supply? I do or I don't.
Connected. The Motorola RIP box, the 9-volt battery that it has, runs the box. That box does not draw any power from your serial connector to USB. So the RIP box has to have the 9 volts on there. The input to that box is serial. There's no voltage on there. Your serial connector on a PC is not going to supply power to anything. It's strictly data on there. So the RIP box has got the 9-volt battery, your power supply running it.
and the adapter plugs into USB. It gets its power from the PC, and the output of the USB is serial, which there is no voltage on there, and it plugs into the rear box, and it works fine.
Finally, somebody answers that mystery, so I'm not going to burn anything up or smoke anything. Okay. Bob, thank you very much. I'm getting the looks over here. It's either going to be the radio or the throat cut. I will be listening. I hear Don in there. You're still on after 10. I'll be... the radio will be on in the monitoring mode. Once again, Bob, thank you very much for answering my question with that. I remember reading somewhere something about PL2303. All right. Temporary 73s, 38252, KC2 CDC, and everybody else on the net. We'll be listening. Be back on in a few.
Okay. That USB adapter will work. I've got an old laptop with Windows ME on it, and it works with that. It works with XP. It works. Oh, I never tried it with Vista. I can't tell you whether it works with Vista, because I refuse to use Vista. But I know it'll work with XP, no problem. So, have a good one. Thanks so much for everybody for checking in and helping me along to run the net here tonight. I think it was a good net. And, first and foremost, thank you to people that allow us to use the system every week. WHSQQ will be clear, 7-3, and we'll catch you next week.